I'd like to read two passages with you this afternoon. We're going to consider Psalm 23, verse 5, but we're going to read in connection with that first from 2 Samuel chapter 17. 2 Samuel chapter 17. We'll just read a short section from this chapter, verses 24 through 29, but to paint the context for you, this is the battle where there's King David in the Old Testament. He's king of Israel. And he is essentially experiencing a coup d'etat from his own son Absalom. So his own son Absalom has taken the capital city, has caused David to have to flee the capital city with many of his court officials. And so he is fleeing from the capital city. The section immediately before this, we're actually given a picture of the intrigue going on in the capital. One of David's advisors had stayed behind to try to give bad counsel to his son Absalom. And so this advisor is in competition with another advisor as to how to best conquer David. And so you have this picture of David fleeing the capital city while in the capital city his own son is trying to decide how to conquer his father. So you can see just a terrible situation. Son battling a father over a throne. Certainly a situation that can bring much weariness and discouragement. And it's in that context that we read, I'm in 1 Samuel, let me get to 2 Samuel, that we read these verses, 2 Samuel 17, verse 24 through 29. Then David went to Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed over the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the army instead of Joab. This Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Jithra, an Israelite, who had gone in to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zariah, Joab's mother. So Israel and Absalom encamped in the land of Gilead. Now it happened, when David had come to Mahanaim, that Shobi, the son of Nahash from Rabbah, of the people of Ammon, Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodebar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite from Rochelim, brought beds and basins, earthen vessels, and wheat, barley and flour, parched grain and beans, lentils and parched seeds, honey and curds, sheep and cheese of the herd, for David and the people who were with him to eat. For they said, "The people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." And then we'll read Psalm 23 as well. This is a psalm of David, so the same David that we just read about in that chapter. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so our text is Psalm 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Beloved brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, a table in the battlefield, a table on the battlefield. One of my favorite battlefield stories is a story from Christmas Day 1915. It's been popularized in songs. One of the bands that have sung this is Celtic Thunder. I know there's a couple others that have also popularized it. What happened on this day, it was 1915. If you're familiar with world history, 1915 was in the middle of World War I. World War I was a horrendous war of trench warfare, barbed wire, men and women, or men sitting not too far apart, shooting over this no man's land. And on this day, Christmas Day 1915, the story goes that Germans on the one side, Welch on the other side, are dug into their icy trenches. They've been shooting back and forth for many weeks. But on that Christmas Eve, the guns go silent. And the Welch, they heard a clear German tenor voice piercing the dark night. They didn't recognize the words, but they certainly recognized the tune. It's a tune that's familiar to many of us. Silent night, stille Nacht. Now, the story goes, sometimes it's hard with stories like this to understand exactly how much of it is rooted in history, but the Welsh soldiers responded with a good King Wenceslas. But then on that moment, for a few hours, not only did this song fill the air as the guns were silent, but the soldiers actually came out of their trenches and joined in no man's land, where they shared some of the stash that they still had. Perhaps a bottle of rum, some cigarettes, a bar of chocolate. And they sat down, and for a few moments on that day, at Christmas Eve, the war was silent. Legend goes, if you look this up, there was even a game of soccer. Or football, for some of us. In the middle of a fight, for a brief moment, this war ceased, and they enjoyed a feast, or at least a feast for them at that time. It's a remarkable story, because for a brief moment, the common element of humanity is shown. As you have these two nations, and essentially many nations, warring against each other, for a brief moment, these men came together, recognize that they had something very much in common as they shared pictures of families, as they thought about their home. And what's also remarkable about this story is it happened on the day when many in the Christian church celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. It's remarkable because if you know the story of Scripture, the good news of Jesus Christ, there is only one who can bring true peace, and that is the person of Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. Psalm 23, verse 5, pictures for us such a strange moment. A table on the battlefield. Psalm 23, verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil." The image is a very striking image where the shepherd Lord, from the first verses of Psalm 23, now is a host that has invited the psalmist David to a feast. So we simply title this message this afternoon, "The Lord's Table on the Battlefield," a table of feasting, the presence of enemies, and then the Lord who invites, and the table of feasting. What's remarkable as we look at Psalm 23, verse 5, is it's not just any old table. It's not just dry bread and a little bit of water. But the picture here is a sumptuous banquet table for feasting. You can imagine a table filled with fruits and grapes hanging over the boards, meats and cheeses, a banquet table. A table somewhat like the one we read about in 1 Samuel chapter 17, where there in this middle of this battle, all of a sudden, as David is fleeing, there are these three men that bring beds, basins, earthen vessels, wheat, barley, flour, parched grain, beans, lentils, parched seeds, honey and curd, sheep and cheese for the herds, for David and the people who were with him to eat. And basically set up a canopy right there in the middle with couches for David to come and sit down and relax and feast. And the picture of Psalm 23 is the psalmist David is a guest of honor. You anoint my head with oil. That's an ancient picture of honor towards a guest that has come. We don't necessarily often have oil poured over our heads when we go and visit someone. And I'm not sure I would suggest you try it. But here the imagery is a guest that is welcomed and is spared no expense. And it is a sumptuous banquet table because the cup overflows. There is more than enough. Now, David wrote this psalm. It's often very difficult to identify when David might have written specific psalms. But as you read this verse, there is certainly clear parallels to the story that we see in 2 Samuel chapter 17, where his own son is plotting to overthrow him. He is on the run. And we're given in the chapter before, and if you have time later this week, you can read through it. You're given a little glimpse of the intrigue going on behind the scenes in Jerusalem. Some of them think, chase him tonight, run him down and kill him. Others say, wait, let's gather a big army and overwhelm him in the morning. And then you see these three men spreading a feast. Is it possible that David was thinking of this when he wrote this psalm? It's certainly possible. We don't necessarily know exactly when the psalms are written. Often David seems to be taking from many experiences in his life to speak about the goodness of God. But I want us this afternoon to see a recurring theme in Scripture that David puts here in his psalm. God prepares a table of feasting. This is always a question that the people wrestle with throughout the Old Testament and that you and I perhaps wrestle with often throughout our life. Can God prepare feasting for me? The Israelites, after they have been saved out of Egypt and they're walking through the desert constantly, are asking this question, can the Lord prepare a table for us in the desert? You see something similar happening in the story of Ruth, where a Moabitess, an immigrant coming into a new community, having nothing, is welcomed to a table, the table of Boaz, who's acting as a man of God who welcomes this immigrant and says to this woman who's gathering her bare necessities in the field, come sit at my table. You see God providing it in the story of Elijah and Elisha. And then you see it so clearly portrayed in the story of Jesus Christ, where 4,000, 5,000 people are out in the middle of fields, and the disciples are asking the same question, can God provide? And Jesus says, sit down. Sit down, and then he feeds them all. What God does for his people while we still go through this world is point us to the place of rest and feasting which is found in him. There's two commanded habits, if you will, that God gives to the Christian church. One of them is a Sabbath day where one day in seven, he says, come, sit, and rest. And on this day, it's not necessarily that there's always a banquet table full of feasting, but what is provided is something far richer that you and I need, and that is the word of truth prepared for us so that our souls might be satisfied. There's a passage in Isaiah 55 where God says this. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk. You might think, well, I hear that word buy in there. And then it adds, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? And then he makes it clear, what is he talking about? What is this rich feast that he's prepared for us and invited us to? Listen. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Jesus says, I have come to give you life and give life abundantly. And it is his word that he speaks to us and that settles within our heart and gives us a new life. So the Sabbath day is one of those habits that God commands for us to pause, to rest, and to feast. And the other one, I know you celebrated it last week, you'll celebrate it again in a couple weeks, is the Lord's Supper. Where God prepares a table, where Jesus has commanded that a table be prepared before you. A table where you are given his body and his blood to remember what he has done for you. And that brings us to the presence of enemies. Because this passage, the meaning of this passage deepens as you understand where this table is being prepared. So this is the second point. The table of feasting first, just see the liberal generosity that God prepares before us, but then it's in the presence of my enemies. The table is on a battlefield. You can imagine, the battle lines are drawn, enemies gearing up to fight. In the story of David and Absalom, this is getting towards nighttime, fully anticipating the next day there's going to be a massive war waged. And then, as the battle lines are drawn, the host steps out and right in the middle decks out this magnificent banquet feast and invites you to sit down. Put down your weapons. Forget the enemy. Feast. Now, who does that? We certainly don't. Far too often in our own heart, when something is bothering us, when there's a battle that we think still needs to be fought, we can't eat. We even have a term, I'm too nervous to eat. I'm too anxious to eat. I can't possibly sit down. I can't possibly rest night right now. There's still more to be done. I cannot pause, much less enjoy a feast. But here in this psalm, that actually doesn't seem to be the case. Because here this table is in the presence of David's enemies. In other words, he knows that there is a battle that is being fought, and yet he is rejoicing in the Lord who prepares a feast. We've already gotten a hint of some of the enemies or some of the battles that he's facing. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, who is David's enemy? Well, if we look at the passage in 2 Samuel, at first glance you might think, well, it's Absalom and Absalom's armies. That's the enemy that David is concerned about, that David is fighting. But if you go back and read your Bible a little earlier than that, you realize that the reason there is this division, this divisiveness, is because of David's own sin. King David committed adultery with one of his army's commander's wives, Bathsheba. And then to cover that up, he had her husband murdered. And it was because of that that God had told David that there would be division, that your own son would rise against you. There would be pain, there would be suffering. And so you can imagine that as David is going in this battle with Absalom, he knows full well that he has played a part in this war. You see, hear this clearly. Sin is what robs us of the joy of feasting. Sin is the enemy, and sin at its very core is choosing self in opposition to God and others. One of the first sins that happened in Scripture, after God created the world and he created this incredible garden, the Garden of Eden, and he gave to the man and the woman all the trees in the garden with all their fruits and for them to enjoy and to feast upon, Satan tempts them to find feasting outside of God's will. Satan tempts them to find feasting outside of God's will. To find feasting at a different table. God had said, "Listen to me and you will feast. You will enjoy the fullness of life." Satan says, "Don't listen to him. I've got a different table where you can enjoy feasting as well." But it is that table that's a table of destruction and pain. And yet that's so often where we find ourselves. That's the enemy that robs of life, that leads to destruction. And yet David here is able to say, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." In that story, David has come to know the grace of God and his compassionate way towards those who repent and turn from their sin. A God who sends his own Son, Jesus Christ, to forgive, to die on the cross, to take payment for our sins so that our sins might be forgiven. To walk the Christian life and to be able to sit at the Lord's table is to recognize that the battle against sin and against the fallenness of this world and against the evil that is around us, against wicked men that we face in so many different ways, that battle is won not by us, but by the Lord, and we can rest and feast at his table. Most of us are in a fight. I don't know what your fight is. Maybe you're fighting for your marriage. You're fighting for your family. You're fighting for your wayward children. Perhaps this election season has gripped your heart particularly hard and you feel like you're fighting for the future of your country and for the future generations. Maybe you're in the middle of a fight against addiction or a fight against greed that you see coming up in your own heart time and time again. Or maybe it's a fight against the curse of sin, against disease, against cancer, against the treatments, the endless treatments. Or maybe it's a fight where you're facing the frailty of your own body and the mortality of your life. It's in times like that where we need to go back to Psalm 23. and to look to the Lord as the shepherd who guides us, who leads us, even through the valley of the shadow of death, and then reminds us that with him there is feasting. That though the battle is hard and long, he brings us in and he says, rest, feast. That we can hear the words of Jesus saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, so often we feel like we can't pause even for a moment or we will be overwhelmed. But then God lifts our eyes up and says, yes, in your own strength you would be overwhelmed, but I am your shepherd. Sit at my table. And that's where Scripture teaches us the importance of the host. Because there's another way that many of us try to feast. We all try to feast in one way or another. When we're overwhelmed, one of the greatest ways, or one of the ways that many in this world will try to escape the pain and sorrow and suffering of this life, is to throw a big party and try to forget about everything. But that's not the feasting that's going on here. This is not feast and forget. This is feast and face. Because the victory has been won. And that's only possible when you see the host, the Lord God who is the shepherd. Because he doesn't ignore the enemy. Doesn't ignore the wickedness around, and he doesn't cover up the sin within. But he's a God of truth, who brings it all to light, and in the middle of that light gives hope and gives victory. A table on the battlefield and feasting in the middle of the fight is only possible if you understand that the battle belongs to the Lord. If you understand that the living God, the Lord who is the shepherd of life, Jesus Christ who lives and reigns on high, who died in our place so that our sins might be forgiven, who died and rose again, giving us the firm assurance of the victory of life and the destruction of death. He invites us to the feast. And so, as we meet together, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. As we eat together in the Lord's Supper, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Why? Because he's already won the victory. And faith holds on to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ says the victory is already won. And the rhythm of the Christian life rests on that truth. And the battle of faith is a striving for that rest. Not because we have it under control or because we think tomorrow will be better or because we're tired. No, we rest because we know who is the host. This is possible, this feasting in the middle of a fight against sin and the frustration and the fallenness of this world, against the divisiveness and the destructiveness, against the wickedness and the evil. This is possible, beloved, if you know the host. If you see Jesus Christ, if you've surrendered your life to him, and you feast at his table. Otherwise, it's foolishness. Otherwise, it's just trying to plug your ears and run around in the middle of the battlefield as when you don't even know that the victory's been won. But as you see the power of God And as David sings and recognizes full well, doesn't ignore the reality of the pain and the sorrow and the suffering and his own sin that's brought this on, yet he can still say, I can rest and feast. Because you, he knows the host, the covenant Lord, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. So what do we learn from this as we end? Especially during this very difficult time. Hear God's call to rest and feast in him. Yes, from our vantage point, there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of frustration, a lot of confusion. As you look in your own heart, there might be a lot of hopelessness and frustration and darkness that you think cannot be resolved. But look to Jesus Christ. Rest and feast at his table, and he will provide. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you. You do provide so graciously and so liberally in ways that we do not even fully understand. And Lord, we confess that when we hear that word feast, we far too often think of carnal pleasures, pleasures that satisfy our flesh, our desires, and we do not often turn our hearts to see feasting in the word of truth. So we pray, Father, that you will help us to see what a great feast you do provide for us each and every week in the ministry of the word, where you do teach us again who you are, of what you've done, of the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ, and of the victory that have been won. We pray, Father, this afternoon for those who are feeling overwhelmed by the battle, whatever that battle might be. We pray, Father, that your Spirit will bring peace and comfort in the middle of the battle, that there might be a reminder from your word of truth, that you are good, you are gracious, and you will provide. And that though there are times of difficulty, the victory has been won in Jesus Christ, and our inheritance is unfading, imperishable, can never be taken away. And so we pray that you will give strength to those who are feeling overwhelmed, and that you will provide. You will provide true rest and true joy in you as we see the wonder of what you do in all things. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.